by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm Hyman Cage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the news.
20 minutes, that Gorilla Bay on the news, right now.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really happen to have a serial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's Tuesday night and it's 9:15, and I'm running a little bit late, folks. This is Jason Sorrell, and you're listening to the Ooze, the Luminous Edition, and well. We got some different things going on tonight in Casa de Sorrel. My 11-year-old is flying back to Fort Waste, Indiana tomorrow, and I lost track of time because we're just trying to spend a little bit of quality time together. We're sitting here playing Mario Kart, trying to unlock some characters and just kind of, you know, doing our thing. And like I said, I lost track of time, so forgot about the show until my girlfriend called me and said, "Hey, man, you're supposed to be on the air." So here I am. And we're doing the show, and I see some folks logging into the chat room already, so thank you very much. We're doing this about 15 minutes late, so we probably won't get to all of the different topics tonight, but we'll definitely get to as many of them as we possibly can. If you're interested in what we're talking about this evening, you can check out on the page in the description the topics we're going to be talking about tonight. And again, this show is a little bit different than the format we have in our other Ooze shows. The other Ooze shows, we spend an hour pretty much talking about one topic, or we talk about it until we run out of steam. On this show, what we do is we talk about a topic, I'll rattle about a topic, maybe ask some questions, and see what people have to say. If nobody calls in or nobody has anything to say in the chat room about that particular topic, then I'll move on after about 5 or 10 minutes, so while I'm talking about whatever it is I'm talking about. So anyways, moving on. Talking about tonight, Sharia law, and I guess the question I have I want to put out there, would the U.S. benefit from Sharia law, from the Muslim laws, Muslim theocratic laws? Would the U.S. benefit from those laws, and should those laws be made available through our legal institutions, through our courts? Should our courts and our justice system take into account Sharia law when making judgment or passing judgment against, let's say, people of Islamic faith or what have you? Should that be accounted for? And the reason I kind of bring up this topic is I was reading a news story a couple of days ago about a school in Canada. The story's a little bit old, but there was a school in Canada. And in Canada, they have a little bit more stringent laws regarding the separation of church and state. Their public institutions, their public facilities and everything else, their constitution, their laws say basically you cannot use those buildings for religious purposes. In particular, they're talking about schools, that you can't have a priest or a preacher or a rabbi or anybody basically that represents any sort of faith come in and hold any kind of meetings, any kind of gatherings, definitely not leading any prayers. I don't think you can have the students do it either. You can't. You just can't go down that road. So that's what's going on in Canada as far as their governments, their public institutions. Now, recently, and I think the school is somewhere in Ontario, there was a middle school, like a junior high here in the United States. And I know there are middle schools here in the United States, too, so bear with me. But anyways, there's a school in Canada that actually invited an imam into the schools on Fridays to lead prayer, okay? And they discussed having, if an imam wouldn't be satisfactory, but they discussed having students come in to lead the prayer, okay? Because part of Sharia law requires that if you're of Islamic faith, that you have to pray a certain number of times a day, and because you cannot pray on school facilities or the school can't facilitate that, well, then these students, especially the males, were leaving the school early on Fridays to go to prayer, okay? So the school, in order to combat this, this issue with attendance with these students, went ahead and they kind of bent the rules and they allowed an imam in to lead this prayer group. Now, what's funny is that the people that are complaining about this in this area, they happen to be Hindu. that they're concerned that, you know, that they, as Hindus, they want to also have their representatives in the school and what have you. So you see where this kind of goes. And that's just one example of how Sharia law is kind of making its way into Western society. So I don't bring that up to, you know, that's the way that it's relevant to my initial question. Should we have Sharia law? Should Sharia law be a consideration here in the United States? It's because it is making inroads into our culture. That Sharia law is becoming a consideration, that some judges, even here in the United States, will, you know, take into account Sharia law when discussing, you know, legal matters. As a matter of fact, I know that in New York, I've heard of some cases where Judaic law is taken into account when it comes to, you know, how animals are treated or what have you. That the Judaic law has to be taken into, or is taken into consideration depending on the situation. Now, I am not for, as far as our government's, you know, concerned, I'm not for any kind of involvement with religion as far as our laws are concerned. I would like to get away from all religious influences in our laws. Okay, this is where the separation of church and state clause actually, I feel, applies. If you want to have a city council that decides they're going to have a, you know, a major scene in front of their city council building, that's all fine and good. That's not separation of church. That doesn't violate separation of church and state according to the Constitution. But when you start dictating the rules, dictating behavior based on a religious premise, well, then you cross that line in my mind. And we have, you know, blue laws here in the United States, you know, about regarding when you can buy, you know, alcohol. We have In God We Trust on our money. And now we have, you know, we have judges that have for a long time taken into consideration Judaic law in regards to, you know, how they would hand down sentences or how they would deal with certain civil matters or what have you. And now we have this, you know, this influx of Sharia law that you have, you know, imams, and when a person of the Muslim faith gets into trouble or has some issue with the law, they bring up Sharia law. It's incongruous, Sharia law, with a lot of things we have going on here in the West. A lot of our cultural values, a lot of our traditions do not work with where Sharia law is concerned. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, we had a whole movement in the women's rights movement talking about how we wanted to, you know, make sure that women were equal. And in Sharia law, you know, a woman has to, you know, basically be covered out in public when she goes out in the public. She has to, you know, maintain 6 paces behind, I guess, a man if she's out with a man. She can only go out into public with a man or something like that. That's all part of Sharia law. That's all involved. And that's the antithesis, you know, the direct opposite of what many women have in the women's liberation movement have fought for in the last several decades. So I don't see it having a place here, but maybe you feel differently. If you want to call in, 347-989-1371. I just don't think it's going to work. But what I do see is that there's a lot of PC effort to allow Sharia law to be at least taken into consideration. Now, my thing would be, you know what, if you're gonna have that kind of a situation going on, not only is it wrong, not only should not be in our judicial system, but you also should go ahead and remove any other laws regarding that have anything in regards to religion. It's interesting, though, as I talk about this, and I talk about, you know, the PC movement of, you know, the Sharia law is being embraced by the PC element in our society, the politically correct element in our society, who doesn't want to offend anyone, who doesn't want to tell, you know, the Islamic community that, hey, you know what, we don't care what your law community are, they have no place in our judicial system, they have no place in our civil courts and things like that. The women's rights movement that I just mentioned, who are they're still championing the rights of women, which is all fine and good. They're out there, you know, every day, you know, hollering about, you know, how women are mistreated. They don't have equal pay. They don't have equal opportunity. They're willing to talk about, you know, genital mutilation in, you know, several countries, including here in the United States. But when you say something or you mention that, you know, hey, in the Islam, in these Middle Eastern countries, Sharia law, you know, really takes away a lot of these rights that women have in our country. And they don't want to talk about it. Now, part of me thinking is that, does that have to do with some sort of PC thing? Do these women, you know, want to avoid any kind of entanglement with the Islamic culture? That's what part of me is thinking. The other part of me is thinking, of course, is that, and I saw a little comic that illustrated this, just one panel that illustrated this point perfectly. Two women are walking past one another. They just completed walking past one another, like 2 steps apart from each other. One woman is a, you know, a bleached blonde, sunglasses, wearing a bikini, just walking down the street. The other woman is in a burqa, you know, the full dress of the Islamic woman when she's out on, you know, out and about, you know, that you only see her eyes, basically. Each of them are thinking the same thing. You know, that poor woman so oppressed that her men force her to dress this way. So, you know, the women's movement could actually be saying, you know what, if that's what the women want to do in that country, that's all fine and good, but they should be educated as to other options. And I agree with that completely, but you don't see them talking about that as much as they do talking about what we got going on here in the West. And I guess, you know what, since they're here in the West, since they have the freedom to do what they do here in the West, it kind of makes sense that they're not trying to go over to the Middle East to make things happen, but they are working in other countries. They are working in other channels. So Sharia law, again, my thing on Sharia law is that it has no place here in Western culture. It makes sense in Islamic communities, and just like in Judaic communities, just like in Hindu communities, what have you. It makes sense that if you have this community of people who have agreed to live under certain rules and to, you know, interact with one another, and they're all of the same faith, well, then they have those laws, and that deals with their church or their temple or their synagogue or whatever they have. But it doesn't have a place in the U.S. court system, and on that point, neither does Christian law, as a matter of fact. Neither does biblical law. It has no place in the United States judicial system. So that was the first topic. And like I said, we were running kind of late. So I'm kind of, you know, a little flustered, kind of, you know, trying to get my head together, trying to figure out what we're doing. Again, my 11-year-old is leaving tomorrow. She's flying out of here at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. And kind of sucks. The summer went by real fast. So, she's looking forward to going home, looking forward to starting another year of school. So the next topic was something better than capitalism. And on the website, on my website, I actually said something about every year of participatory economics. I'm looking at a bunch of different economic models. My concern is, and I'm looking at capitalism as well. And one of the concerns I have is that capitalism seems to be failing. And I've always been a champion of capitalism. I've always said, you know what, when you're looking at these different systems and everything else, first of all, straight capitalism, laissez-faire capitalism, where if you produce a product and you put that product out on the market and you're able to earn a price that earns you a profit, and you know whether it's an obscene profit, a huge profit, that people are willing to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars more than whatever the thing was, you know, cost to produce, or whether they're just paying you just enough to get by, that's all fine and good. You should be able to do, you know, pretty much whatever you want in this system, you know, in the free market, basically. The question I have, though, is, and we hear a lot of talk about this, there seems to be a social movement or several social movements, if you want to talk about it that way, that are for the abolishment of capitalism. They want some sort of alternative. And usually when I hear these people talk, what they talk about is, you know, they just want to get rid of the system. They don't like capitalism. They want to go to something else. But very rarely do I hear them outline what that something else is. And I'm talking about groups like Anonymous or the NSA or, you know, and I know there's different groups and everything that are doing this. I know within these umbrellas, Anonymous is an umbrella. The NSA is an umbrella. When we're looking at these different things, there are different movements within that group. Basically, capitalism should go away, that we shouldn't have capitalism anymore, that we need a better system. But they're not putting forth what that system might be. Now, as an alternative to capitalism, one of my favorite systems is participatory economics, where essentially all jobs, all at least within whatever industry, if you work at a business, if you work, let's say you work at a pizza place, you're making pizzas, okay? Well, in that pizza place, instead of there being a manager and the employees and, you know, the owner and what have you, the store would be owned by everybody in the restaurant, basically. But they would all agree to work at this particular facility. And the roles that are, you know, there in the workplace would be rotated out amongst the employees, okay, all of them. So you wouldn't necessarily have an owner who would be benefiting any more from, you know, this pizza place than any of the other employees. Sometimes the person who got it started would be the manager. Sometimes he would be the driver. Sometimes he would be making the pizzas, that kind of thing. And it goes a little bit further because it gets into participatory government, where the same sort of situation applies, where you have districts and you have a city council, and every person that was a citizen in that particular city would have a responsibility on occasion when they were called to be a member of the city council, to be a member of the state senate, to be a member of the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Congress, whatever. You know, whatever the system would be, where you had, it's a representative system, but the representatives are rotated out. So it's no longer a job that is prestigious. It's no longer a place that you try to make a career. Instead, what it is that it's a duty, basically. It's like jury duty. You got to go do it. So, you know, let's say every month or every 3 months or whatever, the block that you're in, the district you're in, would get together. And they would bring together all these different topics and issues that they have, and they would go and they would choose their one guy by lottery or whatever to take their issues to the state. And then the group, all the people in the state would get together, and they would, you know, discuss these different issues, and anything that the state couldn't handle, well, then they would send their one guy to the U.S. government or whatever, the top tier, basically. And there, you know, each person would, you know, discuss what needs to be done, how things should be allocated, what have you. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that would happen in a participatory system. In a participatory economic system, you wouldn't need money anymore. Now, whatever you did, whatever you participated in, you would get your share, basically, of whatever the resources were that were being divvied out in your area. So, your housing, basically, you'd be assigned housing, and you'd have, and again, with participatory economics, the guy assigning you housing would not always be the same guy. So there would have to be a place to make decisions about what has to be done. So we're talking about here going the absolute as opposite of capitalism as I can think of. Okay. And this is just one possibility, and I'm not necessarily more in favor of it or less in favor of it. It's just it's one option that's available out there. If you know of other options, or you have other options that you think are being discussed by some of these movements, again, the number is 347-989-1371. So if you want to call in and talk about alternatives to capitalism. And the reason that people are looking for an alternative to capitalism, by the way, is that the capitalist model, and this was even brought up when capitalism was first being discussed here in the United States, the capitalist model in many ways engenders slavery, basically. You have to have certain things. You're required to have shelter. You need shelter. You need food. You need clothing, that kind of thing, okay? So you have these things that just as being a human being, you have these requirements. In reality, if you look around the world, if you look around your environment and everything else, you could go out and get these things, your basic needs. You can get them for free, okay? You could create your own shelter. You could find your own food. You could make your own clothing. You could do all that for free, okay? So, but what capitalism does is it engenders a set of false values, needs that aren't necessarily necessary. That's necessarily necessary. It's a need it's a false need, it's an artificial need. It's a desire, but you think you have to have it. Or by law, it's required they have to have it. So instead of, you know, if you're going to go out and have a shelter, instead of you going and buying some huge tent, you know, from fucking Walmart or whatever, you buy this massive tent, it's got multiple rooms in it or whatever, and it's all cloth, you know, so it's all cloth and plastic, you know, bars and stuff. That's the whole tent and everything. You're not able to live in a tent, a place like that. You're not able to have a tent like that. You have to have running water. You have to have some sort of environmental control. You have to have lighting. You have to have all that in order for you to have your children live with you in that tent. And that's kind of where we are gotten by the balls here by our government. But they'll tell you as an adult, maybe you have some certain liberties, you have some freedoms. But as far as your children are concerned, well, then this system requires those children to be taken care of in a certain way, or they're going to take them away from you. So you have to have, by law, these things that aren't necessarily a need as far as your living environment is concerned. And then our society engenders a set of values, a set of desires that, you know, you might be able to live in a shanty, and it might have the very most rudimentary, you know, electrical and water, and, you know, just meet the bare minimum of what's required by the law, okay? But that's not where everybody wants to live. Even though it would be a perfectly suitable shelter, where we're talking about just having a shelter, Our system, our capitalist system, creates certain values that make you want more, that you want to go out and buy something more, that you have to have more. And I've been experiencing this directly myself as I'm trying to actually cut myself off from this, as I'm actually starting to get rid of some of the things, some of the little symbols, some of the little items that I have that they sit on the shelf and they don't do anything. They're not becoming more valuable sitting on my shelf. They're definitely becoming more dusty. Nothing's happening with these things, though. So I realize that, you know, I have these things as a reflection of, or meant to be a reflection of, who I am in my mind, who I'm trying to portray myself as to the world. That's why I have a lot of these little knickknacks, and why I have certain books, I have certain movies and things like that. It's not necessarily that these things get watched on a regular basis. It's that, you know, it says something about me that I have those things. And the me that I'm saying, that I'm speaking to, the me that I'm talking about, that I'm expressing, has been created or programmed based on my feed in the society, the things I get from the people around me, the media and things like that. And I'm starting to really take a hard look at, you know, okay, well, who am I really, and does this really jive with that idea of who I am as I figure these things out? And I'm finding that I need less and less things to feel complete. I need more and more experiences. So that's why I think capitalism is, there's a movement to get rid of capitalism. It's not a new movement, but it's becoming more extreme. It's becoming more intensified, this movement to get rid of capitalism. What I'd like to see from these folks is some sort of option. You know, when they destroy the system, there's a lot of these knuckleheads that are out just out there. That's all they're about, is destroying the system. Okay, so when the system goes away, then what? Very rarely do they have an answer. I've even heard some guy say, you know what? I know what I'm going to do when the system goes away, and I know what my family's going to do, and what my people, the people I'm dealing with, are going to do. But what you do, you know, is up to you. Well, that's a bullshit answer. Tell us what your people are going to do. You know, impress us. You know, blind us with your brilliance. What is it you guys are going to do if capitalism goes away? Every model I think of, especially here in the United States, if you had some sort of breakdown of our system, well, then people would start trading commodities that they felt were of value, and they would work out some medium of exchange, a familiar medium of exchange. You know, they would print their own money, basically. My opinion, hopefully the money's made of something that is actually a commodity in and of itself. The idea that we have this worthless paper that represents time or represents, you know, our effort or our work is bullshit. It used to be gold that was the standard, and now there is no standard. It's, you know, this just green piece of paper. It's meaningless. My point is then, you know what, legalize marijuana and then print your money on hemp. You know, make sure it's, you know, THC, even the ink is hemp and everything else, so that you could actually, if you got a dollar bill, you know, well, if you're not able to spend it, if you don't want to spend it or whatever, you can smoke it. At least you have that. At least it has some interesting value. It's not, you know, valueless like the paper we have now. So we got 22 minutes and left here in the show. Like I said, I kind of jumped in a little bit late, and that was my fault. We got some things going on here, and haven't been thinking about it. Next week will definitely be right on time. So talking about our sponsors, just want to bring them. You know, I want to bring them up typically at the bottom of the hour, and I know I'm running a little bit behind. We've got two major sponsors here in the U.S. We have the Satanic International Network, and I bring them up every week that I talk about. I talk about our sponsors here on Luminous. Satanic International Network is the fastest growing and the most active, at least based on my observations, the most active organization of its kind that I have seen. Okay, and what kind of organization is it? Well, it's an organization for free thinkers, for independent individuals, for people who think differently, for people who are a little bit self-reliant, a little bit self-responsible, or at least lean that way in their mind. Whether they actually live that way, it's hard to say. It's a place for Satanists, for pagans, witches, whatever your religious leanings are. If you have ideas, if you like to get in conversations, if you want to be inspired by people who have ideas along those lines, the Satanic International Network, there is always something going on. Whether it's in tiny chats with the different people talking, that seems to be going on almost every night. You know, anywhere from a few people to to a few dozen people in Tiny Chat, you know, every night talking it up. And you see all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Tiny Chat and Satanic International Network. There are blogs. There is an open forum. There are there's a wall for you to post. You create a profile. So, you know, it's a lot like Facebook in a way, but it's more focused. And it's more about ideas, not just necessarily, you know, look at me, here I am, like you'd have on Facebook, but it's more, you know, you better have something to say. And you'll see when you go into the Satanic International Network, there's a group of people that always have something to say. And then you've got a lot of people in there who say nothing, because like I said, not like Facebook where you go to be seen. Because if you do say something, you will be challenged on it. If you have an idea, you want to test the validity of that idea, the veracity of that idea, the Satanic International Network, you present that idea there, you are going to get somebody that's going to call you on every possible issue that is with that idea. So you'll be basically tested by fire with your ideas in the Satanic International Network. So check that out. The website is www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. Our other sponsor is Creative Eye Studios. Creative Eye Studios is an art website, but it's a little bit more. I mean, Creative Eye Studios, we do this. We do the use. So the radio show is involved with Creative Eye Studios, or it's stemmed from in a sort of sideways manner. T.C. Downey founded the Ooze, and this is his baby, this is his brainchild. But Creative Eye Studios, you know, I'm involved in it, and I've been involved in the process and everything else, and it's something we consider associated very much with Creative Eye Studios. And the reason for that is Creative Eye Studios is a number of different creative venues, and this is one of those venues to use. Not that, you know, the two are exclusive. The two are definitely exclusive from one another. But it's just something creative that we do. We do artwork. We do tattooing. We do merchandising, stickers and things like that. We do that kind of thing. We do YouTube videos. We have a YouTube channel. We do blogs. We write books. We do all kinds of things at Creative Eye Studios. And it's all the artwork and everything that we do is all kind of, you know, weird. It's just left of the mainstream, basically. Just a little bit on the edge, a little bit edgy, a little bit erotic, a lot of bondage stuff, a lot of demon girls and nakedness and things like that, and as stickers and skateboards and all kinds of craziness, or occult books or you know, stuff like that. The most recent thing we've launched is our tattoo studio, and the tattoo studio on Creative Body Studios is what we decided to do is we decided to create a resource for not just people who are interested in tattoos, where they can go get designs. Advice on how to find a tattoo shop or find a tattoo artist, what to look for to make sure they're safe and everything else, but also for tattoo artists, not just tattoo artists who work in a shop and only have access to those kinds of materials. I'm an advocate of the tattoo artist who performs their art privately. Okay, and what that may mean, it means different things to different people. My feeling is that if you're an artist, then you perform your art. And if it happens to be tattooing, well, then you do tattooing on your own, whether you have a shop or don't. And, you know, there are different laws in regards to that and everything else that are back and forth as to whether or not, you know, that's considered safe in your state or what have you. So this is why for those folks who are going to do it, and they are going to do it, believe me, there are more tattoo artists working outside of their homes right now than they are working through a shop. So they are doing it. If they are going to do it, I'd like them to have the information that will make people safe. I'd like to have them have access to equipment, professional grade, and inexpensive, so that they don't have to reuse needles and reuse tubes and things like that and endanger the people that they might be tattooing on. I want to make sure they have the information so that, you know, when they do a tattoo, they do it to the best of their ability. So this is a new resource we have on Creative Eye Studios, and we have other things going on, different blogs, different artwork. Like I said, check it out. The website is www.creativeoddities.studios. So oddities with an S, studios with an S, .com. Creativeoddiesstudios.com. Check that out and shoot us an email and let us know what you think. So I got time for one more topic. We're going to talk about, all right, the phone number is 347-989-1371. And I'm going to touch briefly on value structures, and this may be something I have to pick up again next week. Value structures, and I kind of just hit on this, and the last two topics actually kind of just touched on this. We are given certain values in our society, that there are certain things that we are taught are worthy of pursuit, that are worthy of being held up higher than other things, our values. And it's not just a Western cultural thing, or it goes across regions. It's ethnic. It leans one way or the other politically. There's values between, you know, there's values that men have and values that women have. There's values that children have and values that adults have, values that senior citizens have. You know, there's all these different value structures, all these different value systems. And the vast majority of what I'm seeing with these value systems, these value structures, are placed upon you by outside influences, by, you know, our legal systems, by our educational institutions, by media, things like that. As a matter of fact, just to give you an example, graduating from high school is considered a necessity in our world, in our society, for you to go out and get a job. As a matter of fact, anymore, graduating from high school might not be enough. In order for you to flip burgers in some restaurants, you might have to have a degree or certification. You might have to have some extra training. Now, here in Austin, Texas, or here in Texas, the state of Texas, this was a study was put out that colleges here in Texas are finding that 50% of the children that are coming out of our high schools, about 48% actually, this is an improvement in the last 4 years, but 48% of the children coming out of high school and into college, they lack the rudimentary skills required by the college for them to go ahead and continue on with their education. So they're lacking in mathematics. They don't have a 12th grade reading level, that kind of thing's going on. And the reason that these kids are going to college is, first of all, they find themselves in a situation, whether, you know, through grants or public assistance or what have you, that they have the option to go to college, okay? That there is money available for them to take classes, to actually go to college, which is all fine and good. But then they're also told, or they're also led to believe, that their success in life requires a college degree, just like their success in life required a high school graduation. That's not necessarily the case. Or if it is the case, it's a change that has occurred in, I would say, within the last 20 years. We moved from a society where somebody who dropped out of high school in the 10th grade could still go out and get a job, probably, you know, as either somebody in construction, somebody who, you know, does auto mechanic kind of work, that kind of thing. Could go out and get a job and actually support a family, actually make a decent living, even with a 10th grade education. To now, bachelor's degrees are becoming worthless, okay? That if you want a serious job, if you have a job and you have a competitive field that you're going into, your bachelor's degree, your four-year degree in college might not be enough to get you in the field you want, and probably not enough to get you the pay you want without some further education. And when you're creating this system, when you're creating these values that say, you know what, you have to have a college education, or college education is the only way to go, well, you're putting out this idea, just like, you know, anybody can be president, anybody can be a rock star, anybody can be a sports, you know, an athlete or what have you, and make millions. It's a false value. It has you chasing, it's a stick, or it's a carrot at the end of a stick. It has you chasing this carrot that you're never going to reach, and you're pulling all this thing, you're making all this effort, and you're not going to get to it. And it's because the value is artificial. It's been inflated. The real values we should be looking at least from my point of view, the values I'm trying to look at is, you know, what do I need to get by? What do I need to make sure that my family is successful and happy and has, you know, as much comfort as they feel that they deserve? What can I do to, you know, make sure that, you know, while pursuing these things, that I'm instilling in my children a set of values that lets them see the artifice of some of these things in our society, that lets them see how these things, you know, some of these things just don't work or don't make sense, and that they shouldn't invest themselves into it. Otherwise, they'll find themselves bogged down. Otherwise, they'll find themselves always disappointed in their lives. They'll never be happy with what they have. They'll always be in pursuit of something more, something else. The call-in number, 347-989-1371, if you want to call in and talk about value systems, value structures. I guess the question is, as far as value systems are concerned, do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing? I know I've kind of painted the picture in a negative way, but there are certain values, certain traditions, certain things that in our society are a positive thing. So if you want to call in one way or the other and give us your points or give us your ideas on value systems, we'd love to hear from you. If not, like I said, I'll just keep rolling on. And you see these value systems. You see this system being fed to people through the media, Okay, and this is how, and this is really kind of a sick game if you want to think about it this way. The way it works is you watch television, let's say, okay, or you opt not to watch television. You're not going to watch any television. You don't get involved in television. There's no television shows you like. There's nothing you're following. You don't know who from what on American Idol. You have no clue what's going on. You don't know if Lost is still running or not running. You think that the last time you watched television, Friends was still on or Seinfeld was still on. You're not paying attention to television anymore, okay? Well, what you find is that at some point, if you're not paying attention to what's going on in television, you find yourself out of step in fashion. And this happens a lot to women, I'm assuming. But you find yourself out of step in fashion, okay? That one day you go to the clothery and you look at the rack and you see things that you couldn't imagine wearing, that you wouldn't dare to wear. Because it's just, you know, the clothing is ridiculous. You know, who knows? You know, maybe it's a shirt that's cut out with a hole in it for one breast. I don't know, for one breast to hang out there, broad or unbroad, who knows? Now, this is a new thing, and you haven't been watching television, so you didn't see this coming, okay? But you go to work, of course, because everybody shops, where you work, everybody shops at basically the same five or six stores. So you go to work, and you see people, you know, wearing these shirts, you know, these women wearing shirts with one breast hanging out. And they're all, you know, they're all kind of, because women get into each other like this, they all kind of, you know, are snickering at you for not having the one breast hanging out shirt anymore, okay? And they know you haven't been watching television. So when they gather around the water cooler and they're not talking about you because you're off the step with fashions because you haven't been paying attention because you haven't been seeing the fashions being paraded in front of you on television and you haven't had that desire instilled into you to want those things, when they're around the water cooler, they're talking about what they saw on TV last night because that's what they do. You might read, you might garden, you might, you know, have a little online business. You might have other things that you're pursuing, other things you're doing, but they don't. What they pursue, their pursuits are television. So when they watch, they're watching television, they're watching what's going on in American Idol. Oh, did you see this clown and what a fool he made of himself? Oh, did you see that young girl? And she has such a beautiful voice and she sounds so mature. Blah, 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 blah. And for whatever reason, these people like to include you. And I have my thoughts on what this is. When you have somebody that's alien, when you have somebody that's foreign, it's in their behaviors, when you have somebody that basically lives by a different value structure, you call them on it. And when you call them on it, your intention isn't necessarily to bring them in, isn't necessarily to be inclusive. Although if you can bring them in, if you can include them in what you've got going on, then you just reinforce your own value structure. That is for everybody. That you're just as normal as anybody else. There's nothing weird about you or nothing wrong with what you're doing. Even though in the back of your mind, the reason you have to try to include everybody is because you realize there's something wrong. You realize that there's, you know, these values are artificial, that you've fallen well short of any of the aspirations that you had as a child of what you're going to do when your focus in your day is what was going on television last night. So they try to bring you in. If they can't bring you in, well, then they have something else to mock, okay? Again, to reinforce the idea that they are normal and you are not. And it doesn't matter if when you're brought in, you bring up certain concerns about the economy, you bring up certain concerns about politics, you bring up concerns about the state of our education in your city or whatever. You're involved in, you know, community activism. You're involved in things that are actually happening, that actually matter, let's say, okay? These people don't get it because what matters is what happened on the Miss America pageant. What matters is what happened on the latest television show. What matters is the video game that came out or the most recent mess that some pop star made of themselves after a concert at a local bar, that kind of thing. That's what matters to these folks, and it's because of their value systems. And one of my colleagues, T.C. Downey, kind of mentioned this that in another show. He talked about how it's one of the best illusions, the best magic tricks he's ever seen. Because what you got going on is you have a group of people who don't want the populace to be over-concerned about what it is they're doing. You got a group of people who do not want you to think about what they are doing and the laws they're creating and the way they're spending your money and the way they're sending, where they're sending your troops to die. And for what reason? They don't want you considering those things. They don't want you thinking about those things. Because if you start thinking about those things, you might get pissed off. And if you get pissed off, you might do something about it, and they might find themselves out of a job. So instead, what they do is they encourage this value system, They give the masses their entertainment. So basically they go, look what I got going on over here in this hand. Pay attention to what I got going on over here in this hand. Don't look at what I've got going on the other hand. Because when poof, you're in shackles. When poof, you're in another war. When poof, your money's worth shit. Okay? The illusion, it seems to happen all of a sudden. And it's because you weren't paying attention to what was going on the other hand. You're busy watching the thing that was the shiniest, the thing that sparkled the most, the thing that had the most color. You were distracted, and it's how they were able to accomplish what they accomplished. And it's because of the way our value system has been set up. Capitalism, and I mentioned this earlier when I talked about other, you know, other options besides capitalism. Capitalism engenders slavery. It's the workers supporting a group of elites who themselves are supported by the institutions, who are themselves supported by the politicians. There's a really interesting poster that was actually put out, and I think it was back in the 1800s, that illustrates this, you know, that everything is on the back of the workers, and that the workers are, you know, basically told, they're encouraged to believe that they can get into the elite, that they can get into these institutions, that they can get into politics, that they can find their way there. Not when they don't have the money, and they will never have enough money to have a controlling share or controlling voice in the system, which is why so many people are becoming opposed to capitalism. So again, the number is 347-989-1371. We're in the last 5 minutes of the show. If anybody wants to call in about any of the topics that I've been discussing tonight, feel free to call, again, 347-989-1371. We'll definitely take your calls. If not, like I said, I got about 5 minutes, 4 minutes remaining. I talked a little bit about what's going on with New Device Studios. I want to talk about something else that TC Downey's got going on. TC, who created the Ooze, who got this whole thing rolling, who helped establish these four shows that we're doing. Actually, I think it's 3.5 shows. You want to look at it like that. We have a Friday evening afternoon show, The Fallen. We have a Sunday show, The Outbreak Edition. The Fallen is pretty cool because it's three chicks. It's three women, okay? So the Ooze has been dominated by men for the most part, and it's interesting to have three women who share this kind of activism, to share this kind of perspective, this left-hand path, if you will, viewpoint. And they come up with all kinds of interesting and really heavy topics to discuss, but they also are kind of, you know, they're cutthroat about it because they're women. So when they talk about these things, you get a woman's perspective on these different ideas, where normally it's the men giving their ideas. Well, these women come out and they say some things and they give you some food for thought, and they let you know, how this impacts the feminine, if you will, or how the feminine impacts these things. So check out The Fallen Friday nights. And check out the archives, too. Check out all the shows. Sunday nights, The Outbreak Show, that's where TC and I get together, and this is basically our way to kind of let our hair down and talk about whatever we want to talk about. Not politics necessarily, not religion necessarily, not philosophy necessarily, all kinds of whatever kooky stuff we come up with. Last week we talked about comic book heroes. There's a couple of weird comic book heroes that have come out recently, and a little political tiff going on, and we talked about it as much as we could, and we talked a little bit about, you know, different weird comic book characters and, you know, in the past and different trends in comic books and everything. Like I said, it's not a show that's meant – it definitely is a show that does not take itself too seriously, okay? Other nights, though, we can be pretty heavy hitters. We got some other things going on, and we bring some stuff up and talk about some, you know, very heavy topics. The Tuesday night show, Luminous, is this show where we talk about a number of different topics. We get through 3 or 4 topics typically a night, and it's all what's been going on currently in politics and the news. So from this left-hand path perspective, so that's what's got going on here Tuesday nights. Saturdays is that show that seems to be every other weekend or as it's available. It's a discussion segment where TC Downey hosts and he brings different people on. And sometimes it'll be 3, 4, 5 shows where you got a regular co-host. Sometimes he'll have a different co-host every time. Sometimes he actually even does a show by himself where it's just meant for discussion. There'll be a particular topic and it'll be discussed ad nauseum, basically. Anybody wants to call in and discuss the topic. And a lot of times, TC will just sit there and be quiet and let people call in and say what they got to say about whatever it is. You know, he'll moderate or whatever, but, you know, he'll get that going. So check out the other Ooze shows. Check out the archives. Definitely listen in and let us know what you think because, you know, we appreciate your feedback and that just helps make the shows better. So let us know what you think. And if you'd like to support the Ooze, you can do so by donating to use. I believe there's a PayPal button or something like that on our front page now. So you can actually donate directly to the U.S. to help support what we've got going on here because it's not free. It's not expensive, but it's not free. You can go to Creative Body Studios and purchase something from Creative Body Studios. That money helps with the U.S. Not all of it goes to the U.S., but definitely putting more money in our pocket makes it easier for us to pay for things like the U.S. that we got going on. So those are a couple of routes. And every once in a while we do little things. Like we had an auction recently where we auctioned off some stuff to help raise money to support the U.S. And the U.S. is all paid up as far as the bills are concerned. We're all paid up through December. So we got all that taken care of. So anyways, the show is just about over. I've talked it out for about 45 minutes. Next Tuesday, the topics we're going to be discussing will be we're going to hit this value structures idea again because I want to say something more about that. Desperate to be relevant, internet buffoonery, and why I am no longer engaged in it. Some things you got going on the internet I want to talk about. Different personalities out there kind of making a fool of themselves. Net neutrality. The government wants the internet to be safe, politically correct for everybody, and media bias. And we'll be getting that next Tuesday. So that's it. That's the show, and we're out.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?